Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, June 8th, 2022. I'm Doug Hagman. I want to thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us in this platform. You know, we're doing a lot of things behind the scenes outside of the view of the camera and the outside of the microphone, obviously. And I want to thank you for allowing us to do that. A lot of work is going into the fighting against what we see with respect to the human trafficking, as well as even the more insidious, the satanic type ritual abuse things that are going on. And again, I want to thank you for allowing us to do that and fighting against that. And we're seeing a very proportionate increase in that. The more evil we see, that's visible to all, we're seeing a direct proportionate increase in these cult-like activities, and that's something that it's to be expected, I suppose. But folks, let me tell you something. It's dark, and you know, you look into that abyss, and I'll tell you what, it's a very dark and deep abyss, but it's taking place, and we see it manifesting in things like this news story earlier today. It was released that a would-be assassin was arrested outside Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home. All right. So this, of course, if you look on your screen or if you're just listening to this, a man armed with at least one firearm, a knife and pepper spray, was arrested early this morning near the Supreme Court, near Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home. The man claimed he was there to kill the justice in response to the leaked draft majority decision about Roe v. Wade. This is reported in the Washington Post. This guy's from California. He was carrying at least one weapon near Kavanaugh's Maryland home, and he's been taken into custody by police officers. And he had readily admitted what he wanted to do. He's in his mid-20s. He had burglary tools on him. And apparently people around Kavanaugh's home or neighbors or they called the police about a suspicious individual. This is at least the initial response or the initial report. The guy did not make it onto Kavanaugh's property, reportedly, but he was stopped in the nearby street. And again, the anger stems from the leaked draft decision. Now, about that, have we heard anything in terms of who leaked it? Have we heard anything about the progress of the investigation? And lately, I'm not a fan of Kavanaugh, all right? However, the institution of the Supreme Court and the justices should be kept, obviously, kept safe. So, but what we're seeing today, I believe, folks, truthfully, I believe what we're seeing today is an even more overt attempt at the takedown of our country. And there's no other way to put this, but our country is being destroyed from within. Now, you could cite a couple of wins, of course, the district attorney from San Francisco was recalled. Now this Chesia Boudin, or however you pronounce this moron's name, is a Soros minion. But what concerns me in this recall, in this ouster of this Soros-appointed, backed, funded district attorney that's soft on crime. And I've worked with numerous district attorneys over the years in my capacity as an investigator. I've worked with numerous, again, state prosecutor and county, state, and I've also worked with federal prosecutors as well. But what concerns me with this is the recall vote. It was about 60-some percent versus 40%. It should be, roundly, it should be 100%. And I do know that the majority of the support of this Soros minion came from the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco. Go figure. And if you look at the Haight-Ashbury district, and if you, and Paul McGuire, obviously, very, very well in tune on this and has written and spoken about this on this platform before, this goes back into some very deep government operations with drugs, with mind control drugs. But we're seeing now this, and people are calling this a win. I have to say, okay, it's a win. But what happens when he's booted? Well, San Francisco Mayor London Breed gets to select the replacement, of course, until the election. Did we win? When you have that situation, did we win? And of course, now eyes are on Gascon in L.A. They're locked on Gascon in L.A. So are we winning? That's the question. Are we winning? You know, the justice system by itself, speaking, starting out with the Supreme Court justice and this attempted or this planned assassination of Kavanaugh, to this recall of this Bowden, or again, I don't know how to pronounce that name. I don't care. To this two-tier justice system we find ourselves dealing with, where you've got Sussman getting off and you have Peter Navarro being treated like a criminal. You've got a D.C. jury that's tainted. If you think you can get a fair trial in D.C. based on the jury pool there, you're wrong. And to those people who are involved in law enforcement, or if you're an attorney, you know how important jury selection is. And you know how important the composition of the jury is if you're going to have a jury trial. And you also know how important it is to have a fair and impartial judge, even in a bench trial or even in a jury trial. You've got none of that in D.C. You've got really absolutely none of that. And that's critically, when the justice system is wounded, as it has been intentionally, there's a lot of problems that stem from that. Okay. But what I want to touch on today, and I've talked a lot about this before, there's a couple of things in this segment. Number one, can we come to an agreement? Can the people who oppose Christian conservatives, or believe they oppose Christian conservatives, based on the evidence presented to them, and you obviously, you know, the evidence presented to them is through the mainstream media, the ABC, NBC, CBS networks, or MSNBC, whatever's on cable television, whatever they tune into. And you know, it's amazing because generally speaking, if I'm working on an assignment and it's in the evening and perhaps I'll go to interview different people, almost to the person, if I stop at someone's house to conduct an interview or whatever, almost to a person, their television is tuned into one of the network broadcasting stations. And on the porch or on the nightstand or coffee table is, you know, the local newspaper, New York Times or Washington Post, depending on, you know, if they subscribe to those kinds of things. And of course, they're plugged in if they're a certain demographic, they're plugged in to social media. So you know that the mind control, that the brainwashing is really intense. And you can see this for your own with your own eyes. When you go out in public and you see people walking around with cloth masks on or masks, and you see people, you know, still social distancing or whatever you want to call that, the level of divisiveness in this country has never been worse. And I would suspect, and I'd like to study history. I'd like to look at patterns and such. So I'm going back to the Civil War. And I'm reading a lot about what happened in the run-up to the Civil War, as well as the Revolutionary War, because we have two different kind of dynamics going on here. We've got this push against the deep state. And yes, there is a deep state. I've got three video clips I want to play, just very short ones. But there was a discussion about there's not a deep state. There's an administrative state. Call it what you will. It doesn't matter. We should agree, however, on the semantics, on the verbiage. However, there still is this layer of control over the people in power. And I'm going to be getting into that. But the ultimate question that I always ask, and I will continue to push, is can we convince, maybe, the opposition, the people who are embracing what the mainstream media is telling us, is there any hope for re-education of those people? They talk about re-educating us, putting us in re-education camps, right? What about them? And this is, this is a big question, because the answer to that question is going to determine whether we fight. And I mean this, I'm not looking for this, but I mean this. No one, you know, everyone wants to tiptoe and dance around the fact that, well, you know, we could be fixing for a civil war in this country. But no one wants to say, all right, if we cannot come to an agreement at the bargaining table, so to speak, then we have to work it out some way else. And it's not going to be through the ballot box, because why? The ballot box, Dominion machines or whatever machines that count them up, can they be relied upon? Is the problem that exists, are the problems that existed in 2020 and even before that, heck, you can take it back to 1960, not machines, but 1960, in terms of throwing elections. Think 1960 Chicago, Kennedy, right? We're not going to be able to, at least in my view, vote our way out of this. Everyone is putting all the eggs in the 2022 midterm basket. Now, I do suspect that we're going to have some wins there. I do suspect that a lot of people will turn out for the 2022 midterms, which is not that far away. We're in primaries in a bunch of states yesterday. Yet, again, people think, hey, 2022, it's going to, you know, that election is so important. But in Pennsylvania, my home state, they can't even count the votes in a Senate race with any degree of certainty within the time frame required. So what makes you think 2022 is going to be any different? So the bottom line here, if you can't vote the solution, and if you can't seek justice through the current Department of Justice or the justice system, which we don't have anymore, it's a legal system that's barely functional. It's operational, but barely functional. Then what's left? That's the question. But everyone tiptoes and dances around that question. I would prefer to address this head on and say, are we going to have to fight? Because that's going to affect my plans in the future. I know it's going to affect Eric the Tech's plans. We got to know this. Which brings me to video number three. This was a post on banned video. This is like a half hour long. This is a man that goes on the street and talks to people and asks questions to different people. And now you've seen the Mark Dice type videos where he asked people about, well, who would we fight the War of Independence over? Yeah, I don't know, coffee, right? Coffee beans, whatever. The most ignorant responses ever. This is a little bit different. And the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. You can follow right through this. But a couple of spots in here. And this goes to my question. What is the temperature of the people? What's the barometer reading or the temperature reading of the people out there? And are people now to the point where they would rather fight than switch? Remember that old cigarette commercial? I'd rather fight than switch. Black eye. Remember that? Dating myself now. But is there, and I went through this video a couple of times and I looked at it and I'm thinking, okay, I know there's something here. I'm not going to obviously play the entire video, the 30 minutes, but a couple of spots that to me reflect the current attitude of people on both sides, of the divide. And this is, to me, this is what we're dealing with. And we have to address this head on. Tucker Carlson should be doing it. The Hannitys of the world, everyone should be, in my view, should be doing it, because we've got to clean our own house first before we can even begin to fix the problems in front of us. And we've got to be unified, because if we're not in unity, look at it this way. How many people do you know who live together, married, and their house is always in chaos? They're fighting, and there's always chaos there. Are they effective in dealing with any? Would they be effective in dealing with any external threats, or even functioning as normal? No, of course not. So we've got to fix that or address that. In my view, anyway. So what are we dealing with? Is there an example of what we're dealing with? This provides a little bit of an example. And we can start at the, whatever it is, whatever mark I put on there. Let's go to video 3 and let's watch this for just a little bit. And what I want people to do, if you're watching it, fine. If you're listening to it, great. Listen to the animus that exists and ask yourself, can we overcome this animus? Despite all of the external threats we have, we're looking at so many things, but let's break it down first to the most basic. Can we unite to coexist and coexist to fight all of the threats, internal and external? Here it is.
Well, Trump is corrupt.
Ma'am, if I may, Trump's not in office right now.
No, you understand? People like you put him in office.
Ma'am, people like me, are you bigoted?
Yes, I am.
I see. All right. So, ma'am, thanks for admitting that. Can I ask you a question?
What?
All right. Can you name one single thing that the Biden administration has done that's benefited the country since they've been in office?
Well, first of all, he's putting us together. He's helping Ukraine.
I'm sorry.
He gave us a stimulus package. He passed the law for we could get things done to get railroads in and our getting our structure together, our infrastructure together.
And how's that working?
It's working good.
It is.
And what did Trump do? He gave $2 trillion
to the rich. Ma'am, would you please calm down?
There's nothing to
Would you tight. Please
what?
Calm down?
What?
I mean,
what?
I'm trying to have an intelligent
uh-huh.
conversation,
okay.
But you're very emotional.
Yeah, I am. I love democracy.
Ma'am.
And I love equal rights for all people under the law.
Ma'am. We have equal rights in their own.
No, we don't.
Ma'am, would you?
We don't.
Ma'am, where don't we?
Oh, all the black people that are in jail, all the black people that have to wait in line for
Did
to
they
vote
commit crimes,
for six
ma'am?
Hours. Those
Did
are
they,
crimes.
Did they commit crimes, ma'am?
So do white people.
Yeah, I understand.
So do white people.
So there's equal rights then.
There's yeah, but they're not sitting in jail.
Oh, are they? How about this for?
You're wrong.
How about ma'am, please calm down.
And I'm not Putin's
ma'am,
friend.
Ma'am, would you please calm down?
What?
How about the 22-year-old black man? They just dropped charges on him, who were beaten old people in nursing homes.
What about?
How, they
what
just
about
dropped the charges
okay,
on him.
Okay.
Why does you call that justice?
What about the 20?
Will you answer that question, ma'am? Will you answer that question?
No.
Was that justice?
Well, compared to all the white people,
ma'am, I might ask you compared.
Yeah,
that was justice. Wait.
You know,
so it's okay.
So it's okay for
a hate crime for a black man to beat old people that are laying in bed
was
nursing
homes?
Was
it okay for that 18-year-old?
Ma'am, you're conflating. I'm
people?
Asking you to answer the question.
Asking,
I'm asking you to answer the question.
The gun violence
is that okay?
From the white people, the gun violence. You know what? One white guy went to up on in
there's more gun violence
Las
being
Vegas,
committed. What about
in Las
why?
Vegas and killed over 100
people?
Wait, you're wrong. I'm for democracy.
Will you please calm down?
There's nothing to be calmed down about.
What about?
I'm not a fascist and I believe in democracy.
Ma'am, you obviously don't know anything because you won't shut up and you won't listen. I'm trying to have an intelligent conversation and you will not listen. That is why you don't know anything.
Okay, I will not listen to white racist propaganda.
Okay, is this racist? Is this racist?
Is this racist? That is.
Ma'am, is that racist?
That is.
How's that racist? Explain to me how that's racist.
That is all about white supremacy right
now. How's that white supremacy?
Okay.
Explain that to
okay.
me.
Okay.
Explain
all
it to
right.
me. Explain
all
how
right.
that's white
for
supremacy.
For the radio
okay,
listeners,
the way
signs,
down
let's
the hill
go
and
grand.
They say,
explain how that is white
no,
supremacy.
I'm for democracy. I'm not
that
for
that doesn't explain it to me, woman. You spout now just, you know, these.
All right. Let's stop it. Yeah, and you know what? You can watch the entire. Now he goes through a number of other people as well. I selected this woman here. It was the first one, and there's some dialogue or monologue, his monologue in the beginning, and then he goes through more people. But essentially, he's standing on a street corner, and he's got an American flag, and he's asking people questions. But I'm going to point out two things on this. Did you note the animus by the woman being interviewed or being questioned, and the accusations, the talking points, the white supremacy, racist, all of this, okay? But the other thing not talked about, and I'm not taking him to task, but his position or his animus as well, obvious animus. You had to hear it. Right? In other words, he wasn't. Look, as an investigator, I've conducted interviews, I've conducted interrogations. There's a difference between the two in reality. And you, there's a different approach, right? You use. If you're interviewing a witness, there's a certain approach you use. If you're interviewing a suspect, there's a different approach you use. I don't know exactly what that was, but I do know I could feel the palpable anger on both sides. And I think that by itself, to me, is a reflection of the current environment that we find ourselves. Let's be honest with each other. Is this not where we're at today? And if it is, if you agree that this is where we're at today, can this be repaired nonviolently? That's the question. But should we be turning our, metaphorically speaking now, guns inward to one another when in fact the real cause, at least in my opinion, is this deep state, this unelected, massive cabal of psychopaths, and again, my opinion only, not a clinical diagnosis, who are attempting to run our lives. It's not Biden. Biden, you know, I don't think Biden could put a puzzle together. That's, again, my only observation. So there's another force to be reckoned with, a group of maybe 300, 400, 500, 600 people, and Richard Proctor talks about this, right? Our overlords, the people pulling the strings behind the curtain. And this deserves to be discussed. Well, guess who discussed it? Steve Bannon. Now, okay, this is the next clip. This would be on the cheat sheet, so to speak, in the program description box. This is video number one. Jeffrey Tucker explains how the administrative state grew from recommendations by the CDC. And this ties together the SARS-CoV-2, the release of this bioweapon, and the results from that, how we got from where we were in 2018, 2019 to today. So how did this happen? How did this, now that rift was always there, but how did it get exacerbated? That to me is the question. In other words, if you're the overlords, what would you do to exacerbate the divide of a United States of America? Well, there's a number of things. Social isolation. You've got go after the middle class, destroy some businesses, and then create confusion by the bioweapon itself and the response to the bioweapon itself. So to me, this is a, again, thinking like an investigator, this would be like a tool of the deep state. But he talks about the deep state, and then Bannon comes out and says, well, there's really no deep state. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with a lot of things that he's saying here. But what I do agree with is the sentiment of Jeffrey Tucker. And I want you to listen to what he says just for a couple of minutes here, because I think he explains this pretty well, and he connects the dots between 2017, 2018, 2019 to today, and fills in and kind of explains, as maybe a witness on a witness stand would, what happened and how it happened. Watch this.
I want to start with Dr. Jeffrey Tucker, big piece over at Brownstone. Look, we are prepared for a massive win in November at every level, mm-hmm. school boards. And that, it, look, our driving convergence point is that. You I want you to walk through your assessment, this brilliant piece you've got up on Brownstone.
Yeah, yeah. So I think this is very interesting, and it's great. This is the to vote and to vote for vote the bad guys out and get better people in there is the only real power we have in a political sense. But I think we also need to be realistic about what the new Republican Congress is going to face coming in. And this is true for a new Republican president in 2 years. The problems are deep and vast and almost intractable. And I'm speaking, of course, of the administrative state. And what I mean by that is this meta layer that exists above, really, the elected layer that imagines itself to be in charge at all times and on places and largely ignores the comings and goings of the president. This is not a small problem. This is a huge problem. A new president can appoint something like 4,000 people to various positions, but each one of them confronts a massive bureaucratic apparatus that is more or less immortal. They've been there for years. They know who's in charge. The new guy they figure is gonna go. They can get him out of there with one scandal. And so this is what sometimes is just called the deep state. But it really, I think more precisely, is administrative state. It works very tightly and closely with private sector pressure groups, large businesses. And this is the way they control the country. This has been a problem in my article. I argue it's been a problem since 1883. But we've seen it in operation over the last 30 months, in which the CDC and the NIH effectively took full control of domestic matters in the United States without a single vote, just with a green light from the top, and not even a green light so much. The administrative state took complete control of every household, every business, every church, and every community, our right to travel, our right to worship. Everything was gone because of various recommendations from the CDC. Okay, nobody voted on these things. There was no science to back them. They did them anyway, and they had their tentacles in the states and in the cities and throughout private industry and social media. Effectively, what we had is a totalitarian state come about. So that should raise alarm bells. Something has gone very, very wrong with democracy. And my argument is that this problem is not just the CDC. It's the Department of Labor, Department of Agriculture, Department of Homeland Security.
This is why in 17, when I went to CPAC and I said the three lines of work of the Trump administration, first is the national security. Number two, it's the economic nationalism. And three is the deconstruction of the administrative state. Administrative state has been created over 50 years. It's not bureaucrats. Yeah. And it's not a deep state. This is what's so powerful about Jeffrey's piece. We've got to drop the concept of deep state. That came out of a thing about these, like Turkey and places like this. This is not deep. It's in your face. It is in your face. And they run things, and they can just wait you out. That's why the Trump White House was under siege immediately. The leaks and not just that, what they were doing. So so this administrative state, but wait for it. That's why you have to listen. The power of the House of Representatives as the founders envision it has never really been unleashed. It's going to be unleashed. Yeah. And I know the FBI guys watch this and the DOJ guys watch this and all these people watch this. Well, listen, all you got to do right now is preserve your documents. I'm giving you a document preservation call right now because we're coming for you. I'd make no bones about it. We're going to come. Investigations and this administrative state's going to be taken apart. I understand, Jeffrey, you've lined it out, but you can't.
Yeah,
you know, you can't just sit there and go, it's so overwhelming. If it's made by man, it can be taken apart by man.
It can be, but voters need to be prepared for what's coming. And these politicians who are running for office and then get elected need to explain very clearly what they're about to do, which is dismantle the unelected, powerful part of the state that is in effect ruling the country. And they also need to prepare voters to be aware that they're going to be smeared and attacked, and the press is going to go after them, and that you need to buck up and understand why this is happening. The battle is going to be, I mean, if we're really going to take this on, it's going to be brutal and ugly, and it's going to be very, very hard for the new political class that's coming to power to be able to withstand the assault, and which is going to happen, because this is the most important part of the power, the money, the control.
How do we get this article linked? I'm going to put this back up on. I think I'll put it up on Getter the other day when we wrote it. We'll put it back up. Yeah. Jeffrey, how do people get to you? What's the
all right,
social
you can,
media? What's
cut
the
that
social
off.
Media?
The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. You're going to have to click on today's episode and open that box only at HagmanReport.com. The title or the article title is kind of almost misleading. Not necessarily, but. Based on that conversation, you might look at the article and kind of skip over the article. But the title is CDC wants its COVID regime made permanent. And well, maybe not. Maybe that does really solidify what we're talking about here. And he goes into talking about the fact that there is no remorse at the CDC, meaning as well, what I take it to be, there's no remorse at any of the higher level of government. And that is to suspect or expect that the CDC and the people directing this are philanthropic, or they have their best interests at heart. You know, no, they're anything but that. They want this authoritarian control over everyone in the CDC as well as WHO, which includes the treaty that's being discussed, right? Or in back in May, and that includes that treaty, of course, for a global domination. But in this particular article, he makes really a good transition from the way it was before to today, which again is responsible, I believe, in the lack of faith of our government institutions, the exacerbation of the divide, which you saw on that video. On both sides, the animus increasing to a fever pitch that's got to be addressed or else it's gonna blow. Meanwhile, you got some guy hanging out outside Kavanaugh's place wanting to kill him. It's gonna work both ways. There's gonna be more of that. There will be more school shootings, especially, by the way, when you got Matthew McConaughey running point for the White House on guns, right? On gun control. What are you thinking? But that aside, that's all just window dressing. Jeffrey Tucker writes that the model of virus control, or I would venture to say the model of population control, deployed over the last 27 months, is now part of normal operations. It wants it institutionalized. The bureaucracy has now codified this into this online tool that instructing cities and states precisely what they're supposed to do, given a certain level of community spread and so on. So in other words, it's still rolled out, this lockdown mania, this lockdown process. And I argue all the time, the process often is the punishment, whether that's this, what I'm talking about now, or whether it's lawfare, or whether it's the January 6th committee, that show BS show trial, which is going to be televised tomorrow night. All of this, the process is the punishment. Peter Navarro, example, you know, handcuffs, leg irons. That's part of the process. That in and of itself is the punishment. And we are all, and whether you know it or not, and I know you know it, if you're listening to this, you are being punished by the process as well. It may not be as overt, but it's there. Okay. I would really suggest reading this with an open mind and thinking about the bigger picture. And where Steve Bannon says, really, there's no deep state. There is a deep state. Call it what you want. There's this overlord, this group of 300-400. In fact, the committee of 300. John Coleman wrote about that. The CFR, the Trilateral Commission, which Richard Proctor spoke of. Bilderberg Group, okay, which is all of that's in the Liberty series, by the way. There is so much here. Now these people are really rolling the dice. This is the last crap game of the evening, okay? And the dice is out. Everything's on the pass line. And I'm telling you right now, we are at this hinge moment in time, where this summer will determine which direction this country will go. All-out battles and invasion from without, along with the confusion and chaos within, or some level of rebalancing. But I'm not holding out hope, especially given that little clip, because I think that little clip is reflective of what most people feel. I'll tell you what, I go out in public and I see people about ready to throw down over the littlest of things, and you know what I'm talking about. Oh, man. So that's where we're at today. I hope that made sense. I hope those who are tracking, I hope that made sense to you, because we are in some really uncharted waters, especially with the economy and with the supply chain issues that are deliberate, not a consequence of different things. We are in the thick of it, and it's only going to get worse. But you know what? As we go through the normal course of the day, I talk to business owners all the time. My stepson, Josh, great. He's got a huge business, and he's quite frequently he needs employees. I spoke with a good friend who expanding her business and needs employees, very specialized employees. And I've got the answer. And if you are listening to this or watching this and you are an employer, if you've got a business, I don't care if it's small, medium, large, I don't care if you're the president of GE, I just don't care. I got the solution for you if you're looking for that key person. If you're looking for somebody that you need to help you out specifically with certain tasks, you know, to hire. certain people that you hire can make your life so much easier. But you've got to be, I'm telling you, having the right people in your business, in your life, that's the key. Well, I've got the answer for you. ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. You know, ZipRecruiter makes hiring so much easier because they do the work for you. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. ZipRecruiter uses its powerful technology to find and match the right candidates right up with your job. You can easily review the recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply. 4 out of 5 employers have posted on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. I can verify that. Ask Josh. I'll bring him in one day. He posts a job on ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman and gets responses, and he can select that right person for that job the first day. In fact, it was on a Thursday, and by Monday, he had that person in office working and working out well, still there to this day. ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. And I'll tell you what, here's the deal. The hardest thing you have to do is to remember the URL. That's it. That's the hardest thing. It is ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Remember, 2 N's on Hagman. That's where you go to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. It's H-A-G-M-A-N-N. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. And I want to thank them, the fine folks there at ZipRecruiter, for helping out my friends and fellow business associates with their hiring needs. All right. If it's Wednesday, then it's Richard Proctor. And, you know, I set this up perfect, I think, for Richard Proctor. We talked about what's going on in the background. We talked about this deep state, this overlords. He's written books about it, the Liberty Series, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberger Group, the Committee of 300. He's named names. Look, folks, this is it. Now we're faced with these people, unelected bureaucrats, running the show, right? Running. They've got their collective mitts up the wazoo of Biden, or pulling the puppet strings of Biden, because you know Biden, the only thing he can do is eat ice cream and watch Hunter Biden's porno and gun movies. If you haven't heard about that, by the way, you know, yesterday or the day before. I mean, it's not like it's anything new. Hunter Biden walking around with an illegal firearm, nude, with a prostitute, you know, doing blow, right? I mean, it's just, you know, another day in the life of Hunter Biden. But I digress. All right, so Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. The link for his website will be in the program description box. There you can get his books. I want to find out what he's doing right now, what's on his radar, and actually how he's feeling. Richard, how are you feeling, brother?
Well, here I am with my head on an angle. Can't believe how still high it is. I just came back from the young doctor who told me what we need to do.
You want me to come out there with my buck knife and take care of the
yes,
stuff?
Yeah, that's right. There. He said, this is serious. You fall again on your like that, you'll be paralyzed, quadriplegic. Yep. This is serious.
Yep.
So he said I've got to go in and get some cortisone shots, and if that doesn't work, I've got to have extensive surgery right around here to get rid of that bone spur and free up the I don't know. It's between 5 and 6, something like that, the vertebrae on the neck. I got stuff coming. It's going to happen.
Well, you know what, folks? Please say some prayers for Richard Proctor. You know, I know it's no fun. I've got all sorts of issues with my spine as well, from osteophytes to bone spurs to stuff sticking out to compression fracture. I mean, you name it. So I know what you're going through, and I'll tell you what, I had a neurologist tell me, you know, you hit the windshield one more time and you will be a paraplegic. So I hear you. I hear you.
Yes. And I'm not putting down anybody else's, because everybody goes through things in their life. So, you know, you just smile and press on. That's all you can do.
Well, you know what? You're a trooper for coming on talking about, you know, there's commitment here. And I don't want that to go by. There's commitment that you've got because you care about our country. You care about the way things are, and I appreciate that. And you want to weigh in on things, and you want to explain to people what's going on. And this is what we talk about, playing hurt. You play hurt. You go into the game hurt, and you work through it. So thank you for doing that. What are you seeing right now that bothers you the most? And I want to kind of, let you take care. Go ahead.
Perhaps the thing that's bothering me the most right now is people coming. Lots of people call me. Lots of people send me emails. It's constant.
Yeah.
And they're really hitting on what do we do about this voting stuff? Because everybody's thought, talking about we're going to elect people in November. And if we get there and we do it upright, and everybody cheers and goes in and votes, we'll get good people in. And I kind of say this, if they're using the machines, they'll put in who they want to put in, and we have no say about it. What can we do? That's the next question. And I say, well, don't quote me, but if the vigilantes, let's see, the election's going to be on Tuesday, Monday night, like midnight or 2 in the morning on Tuesday, the vigilantes go to the county court, the county locations where they're going to hold elections, get their axes and their sledgehammers, and go in there and bust up every damn machine. That is the only way we're going to get a fair election this year. It's the only way.
You know something? I am reminded, and I talk about this all the time. I would urge, in case anybody out there doesn't know about this, the Battle of Athens, 1946, Athens, Tennessee, not Athens,
yep.
Greece.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm in favor of this. Look, I'm 100% in favor. Steve Bannon can talk about, the midterms all he wants, okay, and how the Democrats are going to get trounced, they're going to lose, right? But you're right. We have to do something about these machines. And frankly, I don't trust anything that I don't trust any machine. Hand count the same day. You have observers 3 feet away from the table, not 15 behind a pen somewhere. And if this doesn't work, and I agree with you, let's have a Battle of Athens again in yes. wherever it might be. But I hope that doesn't happen. I hope it doesn't happen. But we've got to do something.
I'm with you, but the Battle of Athens is a good measuring thing. It's a good thing to look back on. It was people who were fed up and they wanted to get it done right, and they were successful. Now, we're talking about a nationwide election here. We're talking about each state voting for representatives and some for senators. Those guys are key to keeping on. This treaty that they're talking about with WHO and all this kind of stuff, they're going to decide globally what's going to happen. Oh, yeah, lockdowns and vaccines and masks. Oh, yeah. And it's a treaty. It's got to go to the Senate to be ratified. Today, the Senate, with the Republicans, with the rhinos, everybody know what a rhino is? Republican in name only, red on the outside, green on the inside, red on the outside. You got it, watermelon, red on the inside and green on the outside, R-I-N-O. Those guys vote for it with the Democrats. They're Republicans, but they vote for the Democrats. They're really really Democrats, just got elected on the Republican ticket. Those people are going to pass that treaty. And officially, we're going to be stuck with whatever WHO says. Officially. And our government will say, well, we got to do it. We signed the treaty. We got to do it.
Folks. Just about that, because I know people have sent me emails about this as well. Although that is considered a treaty by virtue of our signing on to, and it's right here. Let me just cite this very quickly. In 1969, the World Health Assembly created a legally binding instrument of international law known as the IHR. And the IHR is the only international legal treaty with the responsibility of empowering the WHO to act as the main global surveillance system. Most notably, the IHR and its regulations do not need ratification in the U.S. by 2/3 approval, as normal treaties require. The United States tacitly approved obeisance with IHR regulations by our membership in the UN and the WHO. So now that's one, and that's what I wrote in Wisconsin Christian News.
I did not realize that they were really called a treaty. It's really then just an agreement.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's called a treaty, but I think that there's a lot of confusion behind that. But the bottom line is we're kind of hooked into this as long as we're in with the UN and the WHO. Go ahead, sir.
Well, if our people, the grassroots now, I'm talking about our people, if they will just band together in one body, not 1,200 bodies, they'll just band together in one body and do something. Picture the Revolutionary War. We didn't have every state doing their own battle. We had one national force comprised of military from every state. Well, we need something like that to stop these things, because they're going to come. They're going to come. And if you don't have your state militia, you haven't got a thing you can do about it. And almost nobody has a state militia. That's not needed. That's garbage. National. We'll just use the National Guard. Yeah, well, remember the name, National. Doesn't say State Guard. It says National Guard. And if you read your Constitution, I'm going to get this out here and read it. And remember, state means not just the geographical thing like Delaware. State means anything. Anything that's organized. Okay, anything, any government, any community can be a state. Read your 1828 dictionary and you'll discover that. A well-regulated militia, I'm going to paraphrase it just a hair, is necessary for the security of a free state. Okay, now that's what this is all about. That's what the Second Amendment is about. It isn't about guns. It's about having a free state. Free from what? Free from tyranny. Who's the tyranner? It's the federal government. That's what the Second Amendment is about. So, folks, stop worrying about guns. Stop worrying about that. Worry about having a free state and a militia.
Okay. And then then let me, because I've been, ever since the shooting in Texas, I've been reading the enemies, you know, the leftist forums and stuff. Let me ask you this, as a constitutional scholar, because I see this more and more, okay? Well, you don't have to be a constitutional, you just be who you are. So, but you are a constitutional scholar. But here's a question, or here's a comment I see. Well, the Second Amendment is outdated because, and this is reason number one of probably 5,280, reason number one, because, well, if you're going to go against a tyrannical government, you're going to be outgunned. They've got F-35s and, all these bombs and missiles and drones and military prowess and abilities and such. So it's useless. It's useless. What do you say to that?
I say you're depressing me with your lack of confidence in the American people.
Thank you.
Utah's a small state. Okay, we're not a big state. We only have 4 representatives in Congress. We're a small state. But we would still have a militia of over 800,000 if we just organize it. That's bigger than the current national. And most of those 800,000 will have guns of their own and ammunition of their own. Yes, the federal government could come in and do stuff. But if more states would do something, not just one state, then the federal government would be completely ousted. And that's what the Second Amendment is telling us. Have a free state. How do you do it? You have a militia. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15 and 16 talks about every state's going to have a militia. It implies that. It says Congress has the power to call forth the militia. That means call forth the state militias. That's what that means. So, folks, it's a part of our whole Constitution,
okay.
Not just the Second Amendment. That's just an amendment talking about Article 1, Section 8, Paragraphs 15
okay.
and 16.
And here's like number 2 or number 6 of the issues I see by the left. Read that again. Congress, starting with Congress. Go ahead. Read that again.
Yes.
Okay.
Here, I'll go to it. I didn't read it. I was just quoting it. But I'll read it now because you asked me to.
To start with
here
Congress.
We are.
Okay.
Here we are, Section 8, Paragraph 15 and 16. Now, it starts this way. Let me see. The Congress of the United States shall have power to, and then it comes here, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the United States, well, of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions.
Okay, stop right there, because here's the other objection to the Second Amendment that I see. Well, now, writes, you know, Matthew McConaughey Light, whatever. You see, Congress then would ultimately supply the arms, the munitions, the weaponry.
That's what the requirement is in paragraph 16, yes.
Okay, so if you're fighting again, and this is an objection I've read, or an objection to the Second Amendment and how outdated this is. If you are trying to suppress a tyrannical regime, you're not going to have Congress or any other part of the government supplying you with weaponry. Is that right?
That's right. That's absolutely correct. That's why I say that the militia guys already have their guns and their ammunition.
Okay. All right.
And there's another piece of that too. Remember this, anytime there's a skirmish, guns, federal guns will be left on the field so you can go get them.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Folks, people did not accept, people, if we're going to accept this, I mean, that's the question. Are we just going to say, okay, folks, we're going to be slaves. That's okay. I'll just put up with it. Is that what we're going to do? Or are we going to give me liberty or give me death? Which are we going to do? I mean, the guys in 1776, 77, 78, 79, and 80, 81, they said, we're going to have freedom. And they beat the biggest army in the world. Okay, the most powerful army in the world, our colonial farmers beat. Okay, so stop talking negative. Just realize that the American people, when they get their backs up, will take care of something. Well, if we don't get our backs up, we won't take care of it. But if we do, these things can happen. And the Constitution can be restored state by state. Because you see, the Constitution has the right. It gives the states, every state, the right to nullify anything that's wrong or unconstitutional. It says it right here in paragraph 3 of the 6th article. It says, all members of the several state legislatures, all executive judicial officers, both of the United States and several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. So if you're going to support the Constitution, you look at it and say, well, that's not constitutional. We will not do that in our state, and nullify it. Folks, that's what the power of the state has. And the 10th Amendment reiterates that by saying the federal government can do nothing except what's in the Constitution itself.
Correct.
Period. And the states can do everything else. So that means you can nullify anything that the government does that's not constitutional.
Okay. Now, since this is kind of a Second Amendment centric, this conversation, and as well it should be because of the talk of, you know, in the wake of the Uvalde shooting, of course. Everyone's clamoring for some sort of gun control. I'm going to toss some numbers out to you, and you tell me what you think of this. Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com. Here's what I want to tell people and you. 2021 National Firearm Survey, 32% of Americans over 18 years old admit to personally owning a firearm. So that's 32% over 18 admit to owning a firearm personally. And that means, that comes out to 81.4 million Americans own guns, okay? Hold that thought. Now, additional research concludes that when family members who live in the same household with gun owners are included, there's at least one gun in an estimated 44% of households in the U.S., according to a recent Gallup survey. Furthermore, there are over 393 million guns owned by private citizens, not counting the military or police, and that translates into 120 firearms per 100 citizens and about 78 percent of Americans who admit to owning guns. They own on an average of 5 firearms, while approximately 22% of gun owners only own one. What does that tell you? And I can go into the stats. In 2019, gun purchases went up. 2020, they went up. 2021, they went up. And they're still rising. Everyone's buying guns. What does that mean to you?
That means to me that people are getting ready to be to have a free state. But the problem is, if they just use their guns as a mob, it becomes a mob action, not a militia. You can't have a militia just because some guys get together and say, well, let's go with guns. That's not a militia. A militia must be organized, must be trained, it must have officers, it must be a military might. It must be that. But if you just do it, then all those guns you just talked about wind up in the militia. And folks, that's a lot of firepower. That's a lot of fire. We have states in our country that have more guns, literally, than many countries in the whole world. Literally. We have states that have more than that. We have states that have way more than the federal government has. Let's stop talking about what is negative. Let's start talking about what is positive. Do we want? Let's talk about something else. Let's assume that they come in and take over. Do you think there might be some people rebelling up in the hinterlands and move up into the hinterlands and come down and focus on destroying the federal stuff? Oh, didn't we have free France doing that very thing all through the Second World War? Oh, folks, people will not put up with it once they get to a point. But the point is now. Now form those things so you don't have to do it surreptitiously from a mountain pass. Do it now so you can stand up and be counted as a militia in your state to protect yourself and keep your state free. That's what the militia is for, a free state, and put down insurrections. What's an insurrection? These damn riots that keep going on that nobody seems to be able to stop. Have a militia. They'll stop it. Okay? They'll stop it. It'll take any time at all. In fact, there were places that the rioters were going to go, but guys with guns, not militia, just guys with guns, stood on the highway and say, "You ain't coming here." And so they didn't. Now, if they had a militia standing there, that would be really enforce it. And so they didn't. That was just one city, though. That wasn't a state. But, you know, if the state of Utah decided they wanted to arm themselves and they wanted to keep the federal government out, there's only about 3 freeways they could get in on. Only about 3.
Right.
Now, sure, you could come in planes, okay, but if we had a militia, it would take over Hill Air Force Base and there wouldn't be any planes landing. Okay? I'm just saying, guys, we have the capability. We just don't have the desire.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on this. And kind of staying a little bit right now in the Second Amendment. Well, let me branch out a little bit, because Biden and others, but specifically Biden, as the mouthpiece of the deep state, says, and I want your comment on this, because this just blows my mind every time I hear it replayed. No amendment to the Constitution is absolute. Have you broken your TV yet? Have you thrown anything at your TV when you hear that? What do you think about that statement?
Obviously, it's a lie trying to perpetuate a lie that's big enough that people will accept it. All amendments are a part of the Constitution, period. Some of the states can nullify amendments, but none of those amendments, all of those amendments are accurate. And they're there. They were ratified by the states. They are a part of the document. This document contains all the amendments and the document and the Constitution itself. That's the law right there. That is the supreme law of the land. In fact, it even says that when they talk about it in Article 5, it becomes the supreme law of the land in Article 5.
See, folks, you would know this if you had a copy of Saving the Constitution. Look, I love books. I love the knowledge contained in books, and Saving the Constitution explains that. it explains that. So, yes, you say, would you just shut up about books and buying books? No, I'm not going to shut up. Look, when you're having a discussion, go back to that first conversation or that first exchange I showed today. If the either side or both sides were armed with saving the Constitution, there wouldn't be that animus necessarily, or maybe there would be, but nonetheless, one would argue or both would argue from positions of absolute authority. So saving the Constitution, go to provostinstitute.com and pick up your copy. And yes, that is a sales pitch, and no, I don't get paid for it. And yes, I'm a believer in that book. And I want to ask you one more question, and then you can go off on what you're going to go off on. Okay, with respect to the Second Amendment, again, this is going to be a big deal because I know these red flag gun laws are going to be revised, and this is a backdoor Trojan horse, in my view, method of disarming the American public. You're going to have neighbors calling on people saying, hey, he's a threat, or social media, whatever. It's going to be just chaos. But here's my question to you. Again, argument number 367 of many. Well, when the Second Amendment was written, the founders and the fighters and the founding fathers, they were using muskets and yes, not AR-15s,
Using muskets.
Yeah, there's nothing in there about AR-15s, and they'd be horrified, I tell you, to learn that these weapons of war are making their way to the streets. What do you say to that about the Second Amendment?
Well, I say to that, if you're going to relate that way, then the muskets, look at the arms that the British people had. Did they have better arms, or did they have the same arms as the colonists did? Exactly the same. So that's what it's meant when it says army and the militia. Exactly the same as the military. Not different, the same. Obviously, they didn't talk about AR-15s or that kind of stuff. They didn't have it. They didn't even have Winchester rifles yet. They didn't have six shooters yet. They were using muskets. You had to push the belt down the barrel and then fire it. It takes a while to do that, okay? That's why they say one shot and then another two shots could be the war, okay? Two shots. But so let's stop trying to say, well, what we have today isn't there, so therefore what we have today is wrong. That's stupid, okay? That's stupid. What we have today should be the same in militia and the military force. The standing army, there is not supposed to be a standing army in the United States. My nose is itching. There's not supposed to be a standing army. That has to be, that's the 12th part of the Section 8. The 12th paragraph, Section 8. We're really getting into that. To raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money that shall be used any longer than 2 years. So therefore, a standing army of the United States is standing and valid for 2 years. That's all it is. And we're not supposed to be funding this thing year after year after year after year after year. So they get away with this because every 2 years they do it again. That's not what the Constitution says. The Constitution says the United States has a government. The United States government has a standing army for 2 years. After that, they use the militias. They use the militias. They use the militias in the Revolutionary War, in the War of 1812, and in the Civil War. And then somebody decided we didn't want to do that anymore. So they invented this National Guard to take the place of the State Guard. And we all thought it's the same thing. We're being taught these things. A militia is called a militia, but it is really a state guard to keep your state free from the overreach of a tyrannical government. And that's what this means. If you go to the Declaration of Independence, you're going to find another statement. Okay? It's going to say it is the right, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, and the responsibility of a free people, if they have a government that's taking away their rights, they have a responsibility to alter or abolish that government. That's what the Declaration of Independence says, and it's always said it, and it wasn't talking about Britain. It was talking about people losing their rights that are guaranteed by God, inalienable rights. those rights guaranteed by God, if they're taken away by a government, it is our responsibility to alter or abolish that government. There you have it. That's what the founding documents say.
And we should have abolished our government in 2020 at the very latest, when they said you can't work, you can't go out, you can't go to church, you can't do this, you can't do that, because
That was the day.
Yep.
When all that stuff happened, all the lockouts, all these things happened, that was the day that the people should have, if they knew what was going on and paid attention, if they should have gathered and said, we're not going to do that. It's over. Our state will not do that. We had one state that did that, by the way, South Dakota. That state said, we will not do that. And they didn't. Why didn't some of the other states do that? Now, I know
because they had communist maggots as governors.
Yes, that's right. And we keep electing these same people. We elect the incumbents. Everybody says, we don't have any incumbents in the government. Politicians, they're just criminals. Well, then why do you keep electing these people?
But see, that goes back to the brainwashing. Again, yes. You know, if you, they've done such a good job, the deep state, and I'm going to pump your Liberty series, because in that Liberty series, you wrote out, or you mapped out how the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, the Committee of 300, all of these groups, these unelected, really communist, satanic, and I'll use that word deliberately.
Satanic is better than communist. Go ahead.
Right. So, I mean, communism is kind of a stepping stone to the satanic, and satanic is really the objective of the NWO. So,
right.
So the brainwashing is so complete. The takeover, the control is so complete. The incestuous nature of the infiltration into our government is so complete that, this is where we're at. We need to clean house.
Yes.
And we need to do it soon. We needed to do it years ago, but now we need to do it. So I'm going to get a knock on the door pretty soon, or the studio door, and I'm going to get FBI in here probably saying, you can't talk like that. But anyway, we do. Go ahead.
Truth. You can't tell the truth because that's against the law.
Yeah.
That's what you just said.
Yeah. Isn't it sad?
Knock on your door and tell you to stop saying the truth. The truth is against the law.
And you know, this program is blocked in certain... I don't even want to give notice.
Oh, don't do that.
Okay, so... Yeah.
You just say it's blocked somewhere.
Oh yeah. So we're in some bad shape here. Of course you're in a little bit worse shape. I want people to please. I'm asking people to say a prayer for Richard Proctor as he deals with his physical situation. It's very serious. And you know what?
Yes, but you can see me. I got a smile on my face nonetheless. I was told today that if I fall again in such a way, I will be quadriplegic for the rest of my life.
Yep.
Did I say, oh, woe is me? Oh, what will I do? Oh, you know, I'm still smiling. Life is life.
Yeah.
And if it happens, it happens. It's not going to, because I'm going to be blessed by God so I can continue to do these things. Which brings me to another subject.
Okay. Doug. Okay.
Brings me to another subject. I've been on the air for 3 years with your show and David Knight and with all the others. I've been on about 20 different shows.
Right.
Over and over and over again, people call me to come in and teach these same things. And mostly they're talking about saving the Constitution because I orient that direction. I've done seminars all over the country. I don't know how many, bunches and bunches. Okay. I have been doing all of that at no cost to anybody except me. Guys, I need help. I need help to do this. I get calls every day. We appreciate it. Keep doing this. I want to. But I've got to draw the line. I'm getting so much here that I'm unable to do it unless I can get some funding, because I got to spend some time writing to earn money. You know what I mean?
So is the best way for people to help you to join your Patreon? Because you give a lot of
information. Let me just say it this way. Let me just put this. I've got a – there's several avenues that people can – and I'm asking – literally, people, I'm asking for support so I can continue to do the projects I'm doing. Okay? That's what I'm asking for. Begging? Okay. I don't want to use that word, but it really is true. You can use PayPal. I have an account. Yeah. You can use Patreon two ways. You can use my website. There's three ways there that you can do it. You can use just send me checks in the mail. I don't care. Anything at all, checks, cash, money order. Just let me explain. If people want to, and I sure, just if you join Patreon at $5 and a month you do that, that's all we need. But it'd be better if you joined at 10. And people who can, will join it.
And the call center now is active. I'm kidding, of course. But there it is on your screen. Those watching, there it is on the screen.
And they're there. And if a lot of people would just do $10 a month, I would be okay. I'd have what I need. But a lot of people, I mean, I just don't mean 10. A lot of people. But if they don't want to join Patreon, then just go to my account and PayPal. They'll send any amount you want to, or write a check and mail it to me. If you want books, buy them. If you have books there, let's say that you want to donate, let's say $100. Okay, buy four books. You might not have bought them, except you want to get $100 to me. I need the $100.
There you go.
Buy four books. That'll do it.
But you know, I'm glad you brought this up, because people might say, well, boy, you know, it takes some grit. I got to tell you something, okay? In the alternative media, whether it's you, me, even at the level of Steve Quayle, the amount of time, effort, resources that goes into this, folks, you don't even see. Not necessarily just only for this broadcast or these broadcasts, but for the things that we do for the cause, and I'm not going to get into detail, it's time and resource heavy. So help them out.
I answer every telephone call that comes in here. I have an answering machine, but I don't do that. I have a thing on the screen that says who's calling.
Yep.
If it's a scam thing or it's a computer thing, I don't answer it. But I answer every other call, every one of them. Yep. And I talk to people. I don't just, what do you want? But goodbye. No. I talk to people. I'm spending an inordinate amount of time doing these things. And I don't mind either. Don't get me wrong. I'm just pointing out the time that's been required. People write me emails. Sometimes it becomes back and forth, three or four or five emails come back and forth. They all take time. I'll take time to write. I'll take time to read. I'll take time to discuss. And people are asking all kinds of questions. Look at the podcast. There are 41 one-hour podcasts.
Yep.
41 of them. Everyone covering a different subject of how our lives should be run in accordance with this document. Every one of them. Well, there's some economics in there, too. But the point I'm making is that's what those are for. They're to teach people. I don't charge anybody to look at those. I pay for the time it takes. I paid for the time to get it up there. And they're there on Rumble and Spreaker. They're there. Anybody can go look at them. There's no charge ever.
Well, that's good. And I would urge people definitely to help you out. Go to provisinstitute.com, select your method of assistance. But I'm glad you brought that up, because, look, if you don't ask, people don't respond a lot of times. And frankly, a lot of people don't know.
On Patreon, I have an account that's not a part of the Tuesday day. I have an account in Patreon.
Yep.
That account is about the Constitution. That's the subject. Okay. I have 450 articles in my school. If anybody wants to, they can sign up on that monthly deal for whatever amount they want to do. And they can ask me for articles. I have 450. I'll send them to them. If they want the articles, I'll send them to them. So what they're doing is they're signing that particular one just to have access to those articles. And they're really, folks, there's 450 of them. They really get to the nuts and bolts of what's going on in this country. These are the resources I used to write the Liberty series. But all of the of are not in the Liberty series, but they're the resources I used to do that.
A lot of people today, right now, and I'll just mention this in closing, a lot of people today are going to you know, behind paywalls and the fee-based, and we try not to do that. We rely on donations, contributions, because we also operate too, an investigative unit that goes out and handles human and child trafficking. You, on the other hand, you've got a lot of intellectual material that you offer without, you know, that's not behind paywalls. So, you know, to avoid that, folks, definitely help out Richard Proctor. Go to Provost
Institute. I really do need some help to continue doing what I'm doing.
That's true. And that's it is what it is. And I don't like to say that, but that there it is. So, okay. Yep. Now, we've only got probably 8 minutes left. So where we're at today, I want to just address the economy, okay? What's going on with the economy? Because we, if you don't mind, because we've got...
I don't
got,
mind at all. Okay. 8 minutes is not enough.
Well, I know, but... okay, so the Yellen came out recently, not yesterday, but recently, and said, you know, I kind of made a mistake. Inflation is not transitory. You've got diesel prices going up. You've got gas prices going up. You got all this stuff taking place. You got food shortages that we're going to see. I believe it's going to be a really tough going here in the near term. We've talked about Austrian economics versus Keynesian economics, right? So
Austrian economics, that's good. Okay, I don't have any negative here. It's good. So the Libertarian Party goes with the Austrian economics, and that's fine. I go with Adam Smith economics of 1776, Wealth of Nations. That's my base. My base is Adam Smith. That's where every economist ought to be, a base of Adam Smith. And that's where I am.
Okay.
I've not read Wealth of Nations all the way through. It's a huge tome.
Right.
But I've looked up many, many things in it, gone through it, found a paragraph, looked through it. I've read most of it. Folks, that's my foundation, Adam Smith, 1776, Wealth of Nations. He's the guy who wrote down the first economic stuff. Everybody knows economics. They really do. But he's the guy who wrote it down in a book so that we could read it and see it. Now, in my books, I have an illustration about what it takes to make a pencil. Well, somebody else wrote it. It was written by the Economic Educational Foundation, and they gave me permission to put it in the book. But Adam Smith did the same thing. He did it with a pin, just a small pin. And he showed all that goes into making a small pin and all the things that happen in a small pin. I work with another concept. This is what Walter Williams taught me. It doesn't pass the smell test. So that's another item that I used. Doesn't pass the smell test. That means if I break a window, and I'm going to cost a lot of production to replace that window, therefore that's good. No, it isn't. If that was good, we should destroy a whole town so we'd get more stuff, more better stuff. Destroy the town, destroy the state. We just got to drop bombs everywhere so we can just destroy it and build it back up again, and that'll make us better. No, it won't. The fallacy why it doesn't pass the smell test is if you don't spend it on that, you will spend it on something else for the same result. So spending and repairing something that's destroyed is one thing, but that's just taking money away from other production that would be done if you didn't have to replace the window. Money doesn't just stop. Money's not still. If I don't replace the window, no money travels? Sure it does. Travels to the clothes store, travels to the grocery store, travels everywhere. Money doesn't stay stable. It moves. You don't want to rebuild a building. Use it that's there already. You don't want to rebuild it. You don't want to take a bomb and blow it up and rebuild it and that be better. Heavens no. It's better just to keep the building there so the money you would have spent to rebuild the building, you can do something else with. And it doesn't even pass the smell test that destruction creates progress.
Maybe you should contact BLM and Antifa, given that yes. statement. But you're right. Okay, I guess because I know you're like on top of these things. Where do you see the economy going? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but I don't think we need one to really understand. Where do you see this economy going over the next couple of months into the winter? Do you see us
the next 6 months into the winter from now until then? It's not going to get any better than it is now. It's going to get worse. What's happened recently? It was Union Pacific decided not to ship diesel fuel to Flying J stations.
Yep.
That's 30% of our food, guys. They can make all they want in Nebraska, but if they can't get it to us, we can't eat it. It comes on trucks. It comes on trains. Their fertilizer, the same company, Union Pacific banned fertilizer just at the beginning of the growing season. Why? The purpose is to destroy our people. Who did it? Who did it? And why did they do it? The who is of these people are a part of the CFR. There's over 11,000 people in the CFR. I'm sure it's more than that. I'm sure it's way more than that. But that was just a number that was thrown out. That's the CFR. It's huge. Who does it involve? The owners of businesses, the people, the editorial staff, and all the media, and all the schools, all the universities, all these people, major players in the upper levels of those places, are usually a part of the CFR. So the CFR gives them instructions. We don't want any more fertilizer this spring. Union Pacific, don't do it. So Union Pacific, they'll salute smartly. Okay, we won't. And that's how it happens. We didn't distribute the fertilizer that they need. We're cutting back on gas. They're running the price up. It didn't do enough good. So now we'll just stop having it. Mm. You see, people just went ahead and bought things. Well, we'll just not have it. So what will it do if they don't have diesel to run the trucks? What will happen? No food will move. No products for the stores will move. All the big stores, Walmart, all those guys will have to close. They won't even be able to run their own trucks because they can't get fuel. And that's the purpose, so that they can't do it. So we lose. We the people. So we the people are allowing our government to destroy us. And it's not hidden. It's right out in front. They're not even hiding it. They're not even, you call it a conspiracy. Everybody says it's a conspiracy. A conspiracy is in secret. These guys are doing the same thing, and it's not in secret. It's not in secret anymore.
No.
And so, folks, where do I see it going? I see it being really hard until next spring. Really hard. And that will only stop then if we've got enough backbone to do something about it. Alter or abolish the government using the Declaration of Independence itself. Don't have to get a new one. Just use that one.
And you know what's kind of funny when you say that? People will hear what you say, abolish the government, and think, oh my gosh, this guy is an unlawful, he's advocating something unlawful, when in fact it's lawful pursuant to the Constitution, the law of the land.
You know? It is the supreme law of the land. It's stated over and over again throughout that phrase, the supreme law of the land. And it always references the Constitution. Yep. This Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Now, if laws are made that are in accordance with the Constitution, then they are the supreme law of the land. If treaties are made that are in accordance with the Constitution and the laws, then they're the supreme law of the land. Okay?
There you go.
But everybody's trying to figure out ways to get around it because they don't want to do that because it doesn't fit their pattern of the day.
Amen to that. So, rough road ahead, folks. Okay, Richard Proctor, Provost Institute. Look, he's making a sacrifice. You can see the guy's in pain. He's got some issues. Please pray for him. But also do one other thing. Support his cause. You can do it. And you know what? It's kind of like this platform. If you don't believe in this platform, then you don't contribute and we go away. If you believe in what Richard's doing, then certainly support him. Go to provostinstitute.com and make sure you, you show your support by way of your dollars. I believe that to be a good thing, whether it's purchase of books or go ahead.
$5 contributions in Parthenon.
In Patreon. Yeah.
Not Parthenon. Anyway, that's fine. Just do that. Lots of people do that. I'm okay. It works.
There you go.
So we've got to do something.
All right.
I want to continue what I'm doing.
The ramparts went up and the flare went up for assistance. All right. We're out of time. God bless you. Have a good night, everyone. Until tomorrow. May God bless you tomorrow. Steve Quayle. Good night.